Welcome to Grace Church's podcast. Today we begin our new sermon series entitled 50 Days with Joshua. Over the next 50 days, we will look at the life and story of Joshua and discover what we can learn and apply in our lives and in the life of a New Testament church. Today, Pastor Stephen Keith opens up our series with a teaching on claiming what is already ours. I hope you enjoy the message and will consider joining us any Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our corporate worship service here at Grace Church. God bless.
And so this morning, if you're here, I want to just say this. You're in for a treat, I hope. I've been praying about this series for some time now. I've been working on this series for the last 2 or 3 months. And I really believe that God is going to speak to us through the power of this series that we're looking at in Joshua. Each message, and I'm going to try to go through this verse by verse, so to speak, as we go through the book of Joshua, you're going to notice something. It's a very positive book. I love positiveness. Negativity, you know, kills me. And so it's good just to read a book that is a positive book and talks about the promises of God and what God can do through us. Amen. And so I've really prayed about this. I've really made this, listen, specific to what our church is going through right now. And so I see a lot of things that pertain to us, and I want to challenge you, church, to listen, to take notes, to let the Word of God go in to your heart and change your life, because your life is not going to be changed if your heart's not changed, amen? And your heart's not going to be changed unless you let the Word of God in, and you embrace that Word, and you allow that Word to change you from the inside out. This morning, I'm going to look at just two verses. From the first chapter, I'm going to read those real quick to you, and we're going to just camp out there this morning. We've got about 50-some days in Joshua. That's why we're kind of focusing on the 50-day mark. And so in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to read these verses, and we're just going to camp out there. And notice what the Bible says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying this, and this is what he says in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. I said it was a positive book. It kind of started off a little bit negative right there, but to be absent from the body in reference to Moses is a good thing. So Moses, my servant, is dead, and now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, specifically the people of God, the nation of Israel, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. You know, I want to reiterate this. Joshua is a very positive book. You'll see that as we go through this series of messages. It literally narrates Israel, which is God's chosen nation. We all know and understand that. And literally God choosing them and leading them into this place called the Promised Land. Specifically in Canaan. And so the theme of this book, the theme of Joshua, if you will, is literally this. Write it down. It's claiming what is already ours. That's the main theme of the book of Joshua. It's claiming what is already ours. And so, you know, the theme of this book is claiming what is already ours. Claiming what is already ours is the theme of Joshua because of what Canaan represents. And I want to see this. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. I mean, it's not a picture of heaven. We don't have to fight and work our way to heaven, and we see that that was going on a lot here. But Canaan is not a picture of heaven. When God saves us, we understand something about salvation. When we're saved, heaven is automatic, amen? Like when we repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ being the sacrifice for all mankind, when we embrace that in faith, we automatically are guaranteed heaven. And the Bible's clear about that. Canaan represents the inheritance God gives, an inheritance that's claimed by us through faith, okay? And it's in reference to here and now. It's not in reference to eternity. And so God told Joshua, Moses, my servant's dead. God's man, remember Moses was God's man all throughout the Old Testament. He's now gone. Now I want you to what? Arise, go over to this Jordan, you and all the people, my people, to the land which I am giving to them, even the children of Israel. So we see that God is calling Joshua to replace Moses as God's man, and God's people are to follow Joshua where? to the land in which God had promised them, a land literally flowing with milk and with honey. God had already given Israel this land. He said, look, it's yours. You can have it. All you got to do is claim it. And that's where we're at right now. All of Israel had to do was step out in faith, listen to what God was saying, and claim what God was giving them. And yet they weren't really able to do that. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. God has given, just like he did the nation of Israel, just like he gave Joshua a word, just like he gave Moses a word, God hasn't changed here today, church. Amen. He has a word for us today as a church. And so, you know, what we have to understand is God has given us some things as a church that he wants us to embrace, that he wants us to put on, if you will. He's given us 10 acres of land right here. I don't know if you've noticed that, but when you pull into here, we have 10 acres of land that God has given us. Amen. And I believe he wants us to use every single square inch for his honor and his glory. And I'm excited about that. He's given us a facility, a building with heating and air conditioning. We have the comfort of coming in here and feeling comfortable. And God has given us all of this. Amen. We're in our seventh year of this church plant, and we are blessed. God has already given us everything that we need. All we got to do is claim it. All we got to do is reach out and be a part of what God has already said is ours. And here's the problem. Some of us are fearful of that. Some of us don't want to do that, and it can only be done through something called faith. And so I want to give you just three things here this morning in reference to claiming what is already ours. Number one, write this down. When you don't claim what is already yours, or when we don't claim what is already ours, we miss out on God's blessing. Did you hear that? When we don't do what God has called us to do, we're going to miss out on what God wants to do through us. Because, look, he is calling us to be the church, not just to come to church on Sundays, but to be the church each and every day that we exist. That's the calling. In Numbers chapter 13, if you look at the context of what's going on here in the book of Joshua, Moses sent 12 men out in Numbers chapter 13 to spy out the land of Canaan. They had gotten word. The word of the Lord came to them in Numbers chapter 32, verse 2, or Numbers chapter 13, verse 2, and the Bible says this, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send one man, every one a leader among them. So God is giving this land to who? To his people. After 40 days, the spies, they go out and they observe the land. They take notes. They look at the land. And they come back in verse 27 of Numbers chapter 13. And notice what they say. Notice what the report is that they give. Then they told him, the Bible says, and said this, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flowed with milk and honey, and this is its fruits. So they went and obeyed what they were called to do by God. They observed the blessing. They saw the blessing. God says, look, this is yours. It's real. I want you to take hold of this and embrace this. And it would have been great if the story would have just stopped right there, right? It would have been great. But it didn't. That's not the way it rolled. And so, unfortunately, the majority of the spies that went out to look at this land in Numbers chapter 13, they lacked the faith. They saw the promise physically. They saw what God had said was true, but they lacked the faith to go and to claim what God had already said was theirs. And so, unfortunately, instead of giving a good report to the people, in their fear and in their lack of faith, they gave an evil report and convinced the children of Israel, the people of God, not to take what God had already promised to give them, according to Numbers chapter 13, verses 28 through 33. Write those on the side, and you can just look at those later if you want. But how typical this really is. I was thinking about this as a pastor, pastoring a church in today's time, and how typical this really is in application to today. Just hear me real quick, church. Many times we are so close to reaching the promised land. Like we've been striving, we've been following the Lord, we have been aching, we have been working hard. And so many times today, our promised land is within arm's reach. It's right across the river. And we're so close, so many times we're so close to achieving something significant for God, something that is great for God, and we get within reach of achieving something big in our faith. And what happens? We pull back. We pull back out of fear. And because of fear, our faith is not practiced. And I can hear what the spies were doing back then. I understand what was going on. They go out, they look at the land, and they say, man, surely God doesn't want us to have all this. Man, this is too much. And if we go and try to take this, they're going to kill us. Somebody's going to kill us because surely this land is somebody's. And so they argue, and they're stuck into this point of crisis of belief. They have to take this step of faith and believe what God has already promised them, and they're having a hard time doing that. And I think that sometimes we do too, amen? We do too. God already says what he wants us to do as a church. As a child of his, our purpose is clear, and we get so close in being a part of that, but we get fearful, and we get afraid. And we pull back. And the same thing happened with these spies. Instead of giving a good report in reference to what God had already said, they were fearful. They were afraid that, look, man, if we try to do this, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem right. You know, it doesn't. And that's the way it is with God. We've got to step out of our comfort zone of understanding the natural and experience him through faith. Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. I want to read these verses to you. Before I read those, I skip one. Exodus 3:8. Listen to what the Bible says. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land flowing with milk and with honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, of the Hittites, and of the Amorites, and the Pezorites, and the Hivites, and all the other Jesuites there are out there. God says, look, it's all yours. Take it. It's all yours. But what did the children of Israel do at Kadesh Barnea? That was right there before they crossed over. They wavered, and they didn't believe the promise that God had given them. They were within arm's reach, and they threw it away because they ran away, and they missed out on the blessings of God. They refuse, and we refuse sometimes as a church and as church members, to claim what God has already said is ours. And guess what? Just like the nation of Israel missed out, we miss out too on the blessings of God working through his church through us. Through us, key words. Numbers 14, 22 through 23 says this, because all of these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt in the wilderness and have put me to the test now, these 10 and have not heeded my voice, verse 23, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. So because of their lack of faith, these people are missing out on the promised land. Look, God is good to us, amen? We must never forget that. God is good to us. He made many promises within his word that he wants to keep. And so salvation is a promise, and it's a promise that God keeps, amen? And it's ours for the claiming. If we don't claim it, then we miss out, amen? It's the same thing right here in reference to what we're talking about. Canaan was good, but it wasn't heaven. Y'all see what I'm saying? Canaan was a reward that God had planned to give his children way back from the beginning of time because of something called their faithfulness or their ability to obey, obedience. And because they were obedient, because they exercised faith, then Canaan was the reward that God had for them. God had already blessed them eternally, and God also, listen to this, wanted to bless them during their temporal stay on earth here and now. And that's why we see what we're seeing here. There are many Canaans that God has promised us as his children here and now. Many different types of Canaans. Success can be ours, church. Success belongs to us. God says it in his word. His word does not go out void. Church is not just a waste of time. It's worth the investment. Salvation and being a part of something bigger than yourselves is huge. And it's available to each and every one of us here this morning. Some of us are right next to entering into our promised land, but we're afraid. We don't believe God. We don't think that he can do what he's claimed to do. And so we pull back. And when we pull back, we hinder the blessings of God in our life and corporately for the life of this church. Number two, when we don't claim what is already ours, we flounder around in the wilderness. Y'all know what the word flounder means? you know, y'all, you ever see the fish that gets out of the water and you take him off and he falls on the deck and he's flipping and flopping and he's all over the place and he's gasping for air, he's about to die? When we don't claim by faith and step out in faith and claim what God has already said is ours, then guess what happens to us? We flounder around in the wilderness. The same thing that happened to the nation of Israel can happen to us as a New Testament church when we fail to claim what God has given us. The wilderness is not a good place to be in here and now. Amen? How many of y'all have ever been in the wilderness? Y'all know what the wilderness experience is? Let me just set out real quick. The wilderness is not hell. Praise God for that, right? Sometimes it feels like we're in hell, but it's not hell. And so hell is where lost people go when they die. And hell is a real place that is burning. It's eternal. It's filled with pain and anguish. It's set apart for those who don't believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The wilderness, although, is here and now. It happens during our experience with this thing called life. So the wilderness is where we are when we don't claim what God has given us. Does that make sense? When we don't claim by faith what God has given us, then we allow ourselves to wander around in the wilderness, flopping here and flopping there, geezing and gasping for breath. The whole time we're dying, amen? And so that's what we're talking about here. Have you ever thought that we might already have what we're looking for and that we simply just haven't claimed it? Like, have you ever thought about that? When we don't claim this by faith, the result is this. We are floundering around, discontent, probably, most likely, running around in circles in the wilderness. The same thing that happened here. And so, you know, Israel's experience was and is an example of what happens, listen to me, church, when we do not claim what is already ours. Literally, what the nation of Israel did here was they circled around Mount Seir day after day, week after week. And literally, they did this For how long? 40 years. They wandered around in the wilderness, you know, bypassing what God had given them because of their lack of faith. Day by day, they circled Mount Seir. Finally, God said, look, you have circled long enough. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, this is a real statement by God. He says, you have compassed or circled this mountain long enough. Turn you northward and go to the land that I promised you. Stop taking matters into your own hands and making yourself walk around in circles and look towards me, the ultimate guider of your life. And so God shown them what was already theirs. And because the children of Israel did not claim what was already theirs, they were condemned to years and years of wandering around in the wilderness. And the same thing's an application to us as a church today. Unfortunately, when we refuse to cross the Jordan and claim what God says is already ours, then guess what? Sometimes we have to wait years and years for that move to happen again. Generations miss out on the move of God because we're scared and we don't believe what God says. Numbers chapter 14, again, verses 32 through 34 says this, but as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. This is God speaking to his people because of their lack of faith. And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. Man, that's some strong words, right? Some strong words for some people that were lacking faith and that needed to be pushed in the direction that God wanted them to be in. The wilderness is literally a representation of a wasteland. Wasting, wasting, wasting away. It's a representation of a wasteland. When we refuse to claim what is already ours, we waste God's time, we waste each other's time, and we waste the time of this thing called the church. And it's all because we're not putting the emphasis on what God says is the emphasis. And listen, the only thing, that's a heart issue. The only thing that can change that in your life is a change of your heart. Actions without the motive of your heart mean nothing to God. And so the only way that can happen is if our heart is changed. Number three, when we claim what is already ours, let me just encourage you, church, success will happen. Like if we are all willing to be the church that God has called us to be and to do the things to do in reference for Grace Church to thrive and to be successful in the community that we live in, we have to understand that not only is salvation ours right now, and it's my prayer that every one of you know Jesus as your personal Savior, but God sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross to give us life. The Bible's clear about that. John 6:53 says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the entire world." John 3:17 says, "For God sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be," what? "Saved." And in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Look, man, salvation is available for each and every one of us now. But in addition to salvation, I believe this with my entire heart, and it's up to us. Church growth is ours for the taking here and now. If we'll be obedient to what God has called us to do with our finances, with our time, with our efforts, with the people that we come into contact with, and if we'll do what God has called us to do, guess what? God will grow this church. And you'll say, "Man, He can't do that through me." Yes, He can. That's why you're here today. He's called you into this corporate entity called the church, and He wants to use you in your weaknesses so that He can be made strong and we can affect the lives of people for eternity. You know, all He wants us to do is to pour ourselves out to His calling and to His purpose. What is His calling? What is His purpose? It's literally this: carrying out the Great Commission and carrying out the Great Commandment. Loving our neighbors like ourselves and doing what Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 and 20 says, "As we go ye therefore," as you go, teach or disciple all nations, all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And while you're doing this, lo, I am with you always. I'm here to empower you. I'm here to intercede on your weaknesses. I'm here to do what you can't do, even until the ends of this world. That's what the Scripture says. So not only is salvation available to us, I believe that church growth, and here's the application for the church: the future life or death of this church, of Grace Church, is either ours for the claiming or it's not. Look, either we put on our pants and buckle our belt and do this thing called the church, or we don't. There's no in between. There's no riding the fence on the institution called the church. We're either in or we're out, amen? And so here's what God is calling us to do. He's saying, "Look, I've already given you everything that you need to be a self-supporting entity. I just need you to step out in faith, to trust me, to use you to accomplish His purpose here and now." God told Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan, all the people, all of my people, and give to them what I have promised them." God was literally telling Joshua to take my people across the Jordan and let them claim and have what is already theirs. Let them have it. The same principle is true for each of us here today, individually and also corporately as this institution called the church. As children of God, to receive God's blessings and to be, you know, truly to be God's church, all we have to do is claim what is already ours. Claim salvation. Experience salvation. God says, "Man, I gave you 10 acres right here, and I want you to be busy doing what I've called you to do so that we can use this entire property for the honor and for the glory of God. I expect God to do great things through us." My natural sense doesn't believe that, but faith says yes. It can happen, and it can happen through the people that are sitting right here under the sound of the preaching of God's word. And so here's my plea to you. Let's claim what God has already declared ours. Let's be the church that God has called us to be. Let's make this the priority of our everyday life. And let's just see what God can do, amen? Success will come if our hearts are right and our faith is driving us. And let's just make that a matter of prayer right now. Father God, Lord, we come to You seeking You to do what only You can do. God, help us to be motivated and to be empowered through Your Spirit to do what You've called us to do here and now. Lord, help us to make this thing called the church a priority. Help us to claim this thing. Help us to take ownership of this building, of this property, of the people that You bring into here. Lord, help us to be a family that represents Your purpose and your love to a lost and dying world. God, use us even though we don't think you can use us. Help us to be able to believe through faith that you've chosen to use us for the success of this church. God, we give you this church, and we give you everything that we can't control, everything that we can't do. We ask that you would do. Bring the people who you would want to come. Help us to reach the people that you have placed in our lives for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen.